And our listeners might remember Diana Berendt. We first spoke to her in September 2020 when she was still struggling from what would be known as long COVID.
I've had a lot of lingering symptoms and I've been going to specialist after specialist. And today's news was that I have apparently borderline glaucoma out of nowhere.
Well, Diana started Survivor Corps to encourage long COVID patients to donate plasma and participate in research. It soon evolved into the country's biggest support, research, and advocacy group for long haulers. In August, the government declared long COVID a disability. Then there was Nick Gutta, who we spoke with in June 2021, after his wife Heidi Ferrer took her life because of her long-haul symptoms, tremors, inability to walk, powerful depression.
The foot pain was the first pain. She started getting very strange intestinal problems. She was getting flu-like body aches, exhaustion, walking upstairs. We had an oximeter to measure oxygen levels and pulse rate, and it would just spike like crazy.
Well, like Diana Berendt, Nick Gutta became an unplanned advocate and support for COVID long haulers. And earlier this month, something wonderful happened. Diana and Nick got married, and they're now fighting for long COVID awareness together. Diana Berendt, Nick Gutta, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you so
much.
What a ray of hope. What a bright spot, you know, in this terrible trial for long COVID sufferers. And we want to get the latest from you on long COVID research. But do you mind if I ask, maybe start with you, Diana? You know, what was the spark? Obviously, you had this, you know, pain in common, but what was it?
I mean, finding Nick was like, you know, there was just a connection, a deep connection from the moment we first spoke. And then fighting something so passionately that was so important. And we were doing it together. No one expected a COVID love story, but I'm, you know, anything positive that came out of this, I'm holding on to with dear life.
Yeah. Well, and Nick, you told us that you and Diana found one another in your darkest moments.
Yeah. I mean, looking back on it, you know, she was the first voice I spoke to after my wife's obituary went viral. I mean, my wife followed her on Twitter, and I saw her tweet in support, and I knew who she was from my wife. And I just reached out and said, I'm here to help. You know, my wife asked me to let the world know what this does, and she said, I can give you a voice, I can give you a platform. And I mean, we didn't meet in person for quite a while, but we just spoke on the phone, and her voice was just this lifeline to me and soothing and comforting and also allowed me to laugh again. And then most people who suffer losing a family member to suicide, they can only look backwards. There's no looking forwards. It immediately gave me a mission and a purpose. I truly believe that we were meant to meet each other.
Well, we are so happy for both of you. And yet, we know that there's a huge mission here. You've been compiling lists of long hauler symptoms, advocating for research and patient care. Yesterday, Health and Human Services released an 88-page report based on 1,000 hours of interviews, workshops, research. Your organization has been asked to provide some of the research you've been doing. Diana, what is the key point of this report?
When President Biden announced his long COVID initiative back in April, it called for the writing of a patient-centric report to lay the groundwork for how this initiative goes forward. And taking the voices of patients and saying, like, that's great that you know, it's now a disability, but I can't get disability and no one can get disability. And so it's bringing the facts to the policy to see where are the sticking points, where are the places where we are not accomplishing what we need. We've been promised transparency. Where is the transparency? I really appreciated that they are starting off with patient-centric voices, and Survivor Corps was thrilled to play the role of connecting them with those people. But it can just end up being words on paper. It is a long, slow process, and it's going too slowly for most people's needs.
Well, so disability is one thing you're looking for. What are some other things? We know we spoke to Dr. Ziad Al-Ali recently. He had that September study that found 44 neurological disorders, including tremors and strokes, increased risk of Alzheimer's associated with long COVID. You know, he had the data. What are you looking for?
So it's funny that you mentioned that. I speak with Dr. Al-Ali all the time. And one of the things that we speak about is he is working off of electronic health records from all of the Veterans Administration. But that data is skewed because it's more men than women, while more women are actually experiencing long COVID. And electronic health records don't capture people's full lived experiences. I have the complementary set of data. Survivor Corps is sitting on the largest database on non-hospitalized patients from the beginning of the pandemic. I started this on March 24th, 2020. And so we talk about the power of if we could merge our data, it would be so much stronger as a result. He wants to do it. I want to do it. Where's the funding? Ultimately, it all comes down to dollars, and they're being used slowly and not efficiently.
I want to ask you, Nick, you say you've become a kind of a touchstone for people from around the world who also have loved ones who, like your first wife, were in this perilous mental health place. What do you hear from people?
People from all over the United States and around the world started contacting me to let me know that their spouses or brothers or sisters or children were suicidal or had committed suicide. And I just heard from a woman last night from Maine whose husband, they were married 34 years, and he took his own life 2 months ago the exact same way my wife did. All the symptoms of long COVID, very similar.
Yeah.
I hear from people virtually every week now, and it's either, please help me, I don't know what to do to save my spouse. And thankfully, a year later, I have actually gotten enough tips from medical experts with different medications that can be a bridge in those situations to stabilize the person. But, you know, sadly, we don't have answers for the most vexing conditions, you know, the excruciating neuropathy in the feet. Tinnitus in the ears, that incessant ringing sound. I mean, I've helped people who were literally suicidal and I've talked them off the edge, and it's incredibly powerful, but it's also, you know, every day you open your phone, you don't know what you're going to find.
Yeah.
And this isn't scalable. This is not a scalable solution. You know, Nick is amazing, but this is beyond any one person's abilities.
Yeah.
And we need an institutional response. We need community responses. Yeah, I find it incredibly frustrating that some of the methods that I used to get better 2 years ago are not being shared with the general population.
Well, and Nick, talk about what the tools that are already in place can do better for people with long COVID. I mean, you talk about suicide hotlines.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, the problem right now is that most suicide hotline operators are not trained in the specifics of long COVID, which is people who usually call suicide hotlines call because they're just clinically depressed. In this case, these are people who are in excruciating physical discomfort that is leading them to feel hopeless. It's a totally different mechanism. And, you know, like there are very interesting tools out there. Like, you know, we talk to the Mayo Clinic all the time, and they've developed an AI voice recognition system where people with symptoms can simply call into a number, talk to that phone each day. They don't have to talk about their symptoms. They just have to talk for 2 to 3 minutes about anything. And the AI can recognize when they're in really serious mental distress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's the kind of scalability we need. I mean, you can't, when you have like arguably 20, 30 million people out there with long COVID, I mean, what is going to happen in another 6 to 12 months when these people are approaching that mark where they've been sick for over a year and they feel completely hopeless? And the reality is, and this is the important part for your listeners out there, I also get notified by people who've been sick for 2 years and are getting better too. Like, it can take that long, but there are success stories out there. But, you know, we need a national campaign because there are going to be more and more people who are going to be feeling more and more desperate. And we don't have the infrastructure for it. And the stress on families, you know, I mean, my wife said all the time, I don't know how I would do this if I was a single mother. I don't know how I could do it.
Yeah.
I can't cook. I can't clean. I can't shop. I can barely walk.
Yeah.
And we need to, it's really important that we need to figure out what is helping people and disseminate that information to all physicians and all patients.
And if I could just say for your viewers out there, the ones who are experiencing severe insomnia from long COVID, which is one of the most dangerous parts of it, when you can't sleep, you can't heal. We found out from the Mayo Clinic, trazodone actually works extremely well for people. And I saved a young doctor's life from Kentucky who is in a mental hospital. His wife contacted me on Facebook. I suggested that drug, and he literally slept 6 or 7 hours the first night. Now, obviously, every case is different, and you have to consult with your doctor. But that's the kind of thing that I didn't know about that when my wife was struggling with it.
That's Nick Guda. We spoke to him in 2021 after his wife, Heidi, took her life because of the severity of her COVID symptoms. We've also been speaking with Diana Berendt, who was one of the first voices calling attention to long-haul COVID. And now they've joined forces and merged their names. Is it Diana Guda now?
It is Diana Guda with an umlaut.
Okay. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for continuing to shed a light on this.
If this is triggering suicidal thoughts for you or you know someone who has those thoughts, the number for the National Suicide Hotline is 988. And for more on the tools that Diana and Nick spoke of, we have a link to Survivor Corps at hereandnow.org.